Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning. You're welcome to today's Bible study class. We bless God for the opportunity He has given to us to study through the Bible. We are currently in Luke chapter 20, and it's been a very amazing journey thus far. We've learned so much from the Bible, and I will encourage you to, go back to some of the podcasts and listen to some of them. They would be a blessing, definitely. Hallelujah. All right, my prayer this morning is as we look into God's word together, the entrance of His word will bring light to us and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the authority of Jesus was questioned by not sinners, not unbelievers, but by the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders. The Bible says they confronted Jesus Christ. So it wasn't even unbelievers. Have you found out, or did you know, that it wasn't unbelievers that actually crucified Jesus? It was the same people that were supposed to be Jesus' children. Believers, people who believed the Bible, people who had studied the scripture, they knew the scripture, they read the scripture, but they didn't have the power, they didn't have light, they only had knowledge. It was the same people that killed Jesus Christ. That is a very loud message to us as believers in two ways. Number one, be careful that you are not the reason for the fall of another brother just because of envy and jealousy. Do you know the reason why these guys hated Jesus? Was because Jesus Christ shifted attention from them to Him. It wasn't like Jesus was looking for attention. But then the crowd began to love Jesus. And then the Pharisees, the scribes, they were losing their own people, and then they got so jealous and envious so much that they had to kill Jesus Christ. This is what envy and jealousy can lead you into, even if you are a Bible student. If there was anyone that should never have killed Jesus or confronted Jesus, then it should be people who had studied the Bible from beginning to the end. They knew the Bible offhand. They had read the Bible. If a Jew or a Pharisee appeared in front of you, you would be full of, regard for that person. The way they dressed in those days, they were mighty men. Priests appeared holy and blameless. And yet, jealousy and envy were the two major instruments that the devil used. These guys became so jealous and envious that they had to kill Jesus Christ. Be careful of the spirit of jealousy. Be careful of the spirit of envy. Just because a brother is doing well, just because someone is doing something that you cannot do, just because someone is wrought miracles, a brother comes up on the altar to preach in your fellowship, and then he preached excellently well. People were blessed. But you preached 5 minutes ago and everywhere was dry. People were sleeping. And because of that, you allowed resentment. You allowed envy. Be careful to deal with that spirit now, so that at the end of the day, you will not be the reason for the death or for the destruction of another brother. And do you know how terrible that is? The Bible says, woe unto him. If woe to the person who is actually the reason for another person's fall, it would be better that they put big stone around your neck and dump the person inside the ocean. That's to tell you how seriously Jesus takes that spirit of envy and jealousy. Be careful of it. The first man who murdered someone in the Bible was Cain, and he killed his brother Abel just because of the spirit of jealousy and envy. These guys were simply jealous of Jesus Christ. They were envious. And because of that, they kept coming up with strange questions. Questions that were irrelevant. It wasn't like they wanted to learn. They just wanted to, you know, find something to use against Jesus Christ. But Jesus was wise. We thank God for the wisdom of God and the wisdom that Jesus had. Jesus knew what to say per time and per season. There was never a time they caught Jesus unprepared. He was always ready for them. And it wasn't like he would go home to be ready for them. He was a man of the Spirit. Every time he needed to say something, the Holy Spirit was there to help him. No wonder the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You need the leading of the Holy Ghost every single time. You don't need to prepare what you want to tell your lecturer or what you're going to tell your boss. Just appear before him and trust the Holy Ghost. He will guide you. He will lead you. I pray the Lord God Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. So they were actually questioning Jesus. And then Jesus questioned them again. They didn't know what to say. You know, they were scared. The Bible says, they said, if we say from men, all the people will stone us. You know? So, and if we say it is from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe me? So, these guys, because of that, they said they didn't know. It wasn't like they didn't know. They had to lie because they were afraid of what the people would do to them. You know, there are many things you're doing. It's not because you love God. It's because there are people around you. What do you do in your private place? That is what is most important. The reason why some of you are so committed in church is because you are a worker. What if you find out that you're just a member of a church? You know, you're no longer a student, or probably you're no longer, you've moved from a particular location and you moved to another location and then you need to change church. What is your attitude, your first 3 months in that new church? Do you really want to go to church early? Or you go to church early because of people, because of your pastor, because you're a worker? What would you do if by today you're no longer a worker in the church? Are you still going to be committed to God? Do you do the things you do because you want people's appraisal, or you do those things because it is the right thing to do as a child of God? Think about it. Hallelujah. Verse 9, look at the parable of the vine dresser. So a certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to the vine dressers, and went into a far country for a long time. So what happened? He sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But you know what the vine dressers did? They beat him up and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant. Verse 12, he sent another one. And every time this man sent his servant, they would beat his servants up and then send them back away empty-handed. Then the man decided, okay, fine, I'm going to send my son. Maybe they would be afraid, or maybe they would respect my son. He sent his son. These guys collaborated. They said, oh, fine, now that he has sent his son, let us kill him. So they killed the man. And then, you know, the picture is very clear, very clear. The children of Israel, they had the opportunity of having several prophets. It wasn't just one prophet they had. You know, they had massive, God pampered the children of Israel. God pampered them. Let's face reality. God pampered them. I don't know what's going to happen to me if after I crossed the Red Sea. I don't know what's going to happen to me after that. After crossing the Red Sea, after getting water from the rock, after almost being fed, almost all my needs being met. There was nothing the children of Israel I wanted that God didn't supply. He was there for them every single time. Sent them prophets to warn them, to speak to them. But every single time the prophets came, they wouldn't listen to the prophet, and they would even beat up the prophet. They would, you know, turn deaf ears to whatever it was the prophet was, you know, the prophets were going to tell them. They weren't going to listen to the prophet until God had to send his son. And you can imagine, you reading your Bible, very vast in the Bible, then Jesus appears. And you can't even know that this is Jesus Christ. So it is not about Bible knowledge. I'm a big fan of reading the Bible. I like to tell people, if you're not reading your Bible, you don't know what you're doing, because then that's the manual for life. That is something you should be reading every day. But it is not about reading your Bible. It is about getting light. It is about revelation. It is about Rema. It is about God opening your eyes to see those things, you know, that you need to see, and to give you the power to put all of those words to practice. You can read who Jesus is in the Bible, and Jesus will appear before you and you wouldn't know. That is why that man in the Bible, you know, saw the Samaritan woman and saw the man that had been beaten up. That was Jesus at that moment looking for help. But he thought his own Jesus Christ was in the temple. Talking about the priest, the Levite, they thought their own Jesus Christ was in the temple. Sometimes that Jesus Christ that you cannot see, that you thought is seated in heavenly places with you, is your roommate, hungry, looking for help. But you can't see it because you only have Bible in your head, not in your heart. Trust God for that grace to help you to see the light of the scripture, so that when Jesus appears, you won't be killing Jesus Christ. That brother that you are killing, that you are backbiting about, that you keep talking to your roommate about, or that same brother that you hate so much, you don't know that, you probably might not know that that's actually Jesus Christ beside you. Because even God said it. If you can do this thing to the person beside you, that means you have done it to me. That's God's representative. That's God. You're doing it to God. May God help us. May God open our eyes. So before you start crucifying the Jews for killing Jesus, do you know how many times you have killed Jesus? Do you know how many times you've abused Jesus? Do you know how many times every time you abused Jesus' servant, you have also abused Jesus. Every time you turned deaf ears to Jesus' servant, you've done the same thing to Jesus. Some of you are very good at slandering God's servant. Don't even ever, at any point in your life, join anyone to slander a prophet, especially on social media. You know, trust God for the grace that at the end of the day, let the wheat and the tears, let them grow together. At the end of the day, there will be a separation. And then the tears will be thrown into fire and the wheat will be gathered together. So please, just allow God to do that work. Don't do it for God. Relax your mind. I pray the Lord will give us grace to do this. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And then we see the Pharisees and Sadducees, they kept on coming, asking Jesus questions, all because they wanted to bring Jesus down. Every other thing that you're going to be seeing in this verse, in this chapter, we already discussed them in the book of Matthew. They just won't stop coming. The Pharisees came first, then the Sadducees. The kind of contention Jesus encountered when he was on earth, I doubt if any other person in this world has encountered such, you know, contention. And I think the reason is because of the mighty works that Jesus did when he was on earth. And if you are a child of God, it is a guarantee that you will also be questioned. It is a guarantee that the enemy will definitely come after you. So if your life has been looking so smooth and perfect, it seems to look like everyone likes you. There is no one that really hates you in your fellowship. Nobody they all like. Be careful. Maybe you have adulterated the word of God. Maybe every time you spoke God's word in church, you tried everything possible to remove those things that would displease the people. And then you spoke from the flesh just so that you can get the approval of people. Be careful, because truly, if you must stand for the truth, people will definitely come against you. But I pray that the Lord will help us not to be people pleaser, but to be God pleaser, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining to this podcast. I celebrate you. God bless you. See you tomorrow. Bye for now.